we're supposed to do. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He said, continue in this love that I've given you. My Father gave me this love, and I'm giving it to you. Now you are to continue in this love. What does it mean in 2022 and beyond that we stop loving, we stop caring, that we start hating, we develop hate groups, we get into the hate groups, we start serving into the hate groups? No, that's not what it means. If you're a Christian, you most definitely can't do that. John 15:17 says, love is a commandment from God, that he commanded us to love one another. He commanded us to love. That's a commandment. He commanded us to love one another. Christians can't get all bent out of shape because of a skin pigmentation. You know, to God, who made every race, color, creed, nationality, it means nothing to him. But what he will take offense to is when we come out and we voice our displeasure about folks, about their color and who they are. You know, it's like when Miriam and Moses' sister, she and Aaron spoke against Moses' wife because he married an Ethiopian woman who was dark color. She had dark skin, and people would say she was a black woman. You know, Miriam, she was struck with leprosy, and Moses had to pray to God for her healing. See, it doesn't pay when we do things out of character and out of the will of God. It's not going to pay dividends, good dividends. It's going to pay, but not good dividends. My point to you is this. The church must have teaching so that we can adhere to all of the things of God. We must preach and teach the whole gospel of salvation, not just select parts that we may like. Amen? Not just select parts. You know, I felt led to mention these things that I talked to you previously, and you know, because we can see what's happening now, and they have a direct bearing on the lesson that I'm bringing to you today. We want to give you a definition of salvation. We want to emphasize the need from God, from God's word, for teaching, you know, the entire word of God. That's going to be the emphasis on this lesson. We want to emphasize God needs us to teach the whole gospel, not just the parts that we like or the parts that we think that people need. We need everything, and we should be touching on everything. And we also want to teach on how to utilize and how to practice these specific parts of our salvation that I'm talking about today. We want to teach you how to practice healing and deliverance. That's what we're teaching on today. So we're going to look at the conditions of this world. You know, it reveals man's awful, dangerous, difficult situations that his fallen condition has left him in. And I'm talking about all of us. We're all in a fallen condition. But when we come to God, you know, through Jesus Christ, God has brought us back to the righteousness and the right standing of God. Mankind is completely helpless when he is left to his own human resources. I don't think mankind think anymore about a new society where we all can have peace and prosperity and equality. This world remains scattered and torn by the worsening conditions and the damaging views of some of the governing bodies in the world. And I know you all know who I'm talking about. And some church folks, they're walking in step with them. We know that it's sin, and it's on a local level, so it's on a national level, and it's on an international level. But we thank God for his great plan of salvation. This is the plan to provide a solution to man's problem. You know, it's called salvation. That's the name of the plan. It's called the plan of salvation. Paul calls it the doctrine or the gospel of salvation. It embraces all of time, as well as eternity, past and present, and future. It includes, or it relates to all of mankind, everything about us without exception. That's what it includes. Salvation is the total work of God by which he seeks to rescue man from the ruin and the power of sin. This is the plan that he's using to rescue us from the ruin and the power of sin. We want to give you a definitive definition of salvation. The word salvation communicates the thought of deliverance, safety, perseverance, soundness, restoration, and healing. And in theology, it's a major doctrine of the Bible, which includes redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, conviction. Listen to all these things. Conviction, repentance, faith, regeneration, forgiveness, justification, sanctification, perseverance, and glorification.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The tree.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And I just want to lift out verses 42 through 44. Luke chapter 22, verses 42, 43, and 44. Uh-huh. And we talked about the Gethsemane experience as recorded by Matthew's. And now we want to take just a glimpse into a portion of the Gethsemane experience as recorded by Luke, the physician of the gospel writers. Rita, would you read, please?
Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Mm-hmm. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, mm-hmm. remove this cup from me.
Yes.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Amen. God bless you. Just for a little while, I want to talk about the suffering Savior. The suffering Savior. One of the things I desire for you to know is that his suffering started long before he got on the cross. And I need you to recognize that what Jesus went through spiritually, mentally, and emotionally was just as taxing as the physical suffering that he endured. How many times have you had a doctor's appointment or a dentist's appointment or some other kind of appointment where you weren't sure of the outcome or you weren't sure of how the other person would respond? And in some kind of agony, you worried yourself far worse than it was when you actually went through what you've gone through. Do I have any witnesses in the house? All of us have the propensity to somehow imagine things to be worse many times than they are. However, Jesus, being human, was also divine. He was God. And so I need you to understand that Jesus didn't imagine what was coming. He knew what was coming. He saw what was coming. And so his prayer was perhaps a prayer of a different sort from ours. But yet in his humanity, he still cried out to God, "Father, if it be possible, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." One of the things I need you to understand, first of all, is in this prayer that Jesus prays, Jesus is being as true, as honest, and as real with God his Father as any person in prayer could ever be. Now, Jesus was born to die. As a matter of fact, even before the world was formed, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit had come together in this plan to redeem mankind after his fall in the fullness of time. And Jesus had a body prepared, and through Mary, a virgin without the assistance or the aid of man, was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and she became pregnant with the Son of God. He came through the same channels of life that all of us have come through. He grew up as a regular child. He went through things. However, he, knowing that his purpose from birth was death. How many of you could deal with knowing that your purpose for being born is to die? Every day he lived, he knew it was getting closer and closer and closer, and yet he went on with life. Finally, when he started his ministry at the age of 30, And he started sharing life in the way that God wanted him to show and demonstrate who he was, that he was Lord over all. He did miracles, signs, and wonders, showing the people he was the Son of God. And then many times when they tried to kill him before his time, take him before his time, he disappeared out of their sight. But when his time came, he didn't run, he didn't fight, and he did not argue against those who came to take him. He simply surrendered. Now, let me show you this. Let's go back, if you will, and I want to walk through these three verses and we'll be through. Read again verse 42.
Verse 42, mm-hmm. saying, Father, mm-hmm. if thou be willing, mm-hmm. remove this cup from me.
Right. Now, before you go any further, listen. What grabs your attention? Father, if you be what? Willing. Now, here's what Jesus knew. That the Father was not willing to remove that cup. Here's why. If the Father would have removed that cup from him, there would have been no salvation for us. I need you to hear me and understand this. So he was praying out of the flesh, the humanity, his desire not to want to have to go through all of the things he saw and knew before time he would have to go through. But the difference is the time has come. And so he wants to know, God, is there a plan B? Is there an alternate plan that you didn't let me in on? If it is, this would be a good time for you to tell me.
All right, then, doctor.
If you be willing, let this cup pass from me.
All right, then, doctor.
Well, it begs to ask the question, what's in the cup? Why do you want the cup to pass from you, Jesus? Because, to put it lightly, without being able to articulate all of the things that were in the cup individually, let me say every sin, every blackness, every darkness, every evil, every wrong thing, deed and word, everything that was damnable was in that cup. It was the most bitter cup that had ever existed on planet Earth. You're talking about poison on top of poison, on top of poison, mixed with poison, undergirded with, sweetened with poison. And then added milk to it to try and make it palatable. It was everything that man had done that Jesus had come to save him from in that cup. That was a bitter cup. Have you ever had a bitter drink? Now, I ain't talking about some of the drinks y'all drink. I'm just talking about a bitter cup of coffee, a bitter cup of tea. I'm talking light stuff. Now, I ain't talking about 100 proof and all of that stuff. I ain't talking about stuff that bite your tongue when you take a sip. I'm just talking about stuff that's so bitter you say, mm-mm, no more. And Jesus had to drink every drop of what was in that cup. Continue on.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
As I've shared before so many times, there is the dust and the divinity revealed in that prayer. The dust represents his human side. The divinity represents his divine side, his sonship side, his spiritual side. His human sides plead with God to let the cup pass away from him. The divine side says, nevertheless, in other words, listen, God, let me just tell you, if you want this to go on, it's going to go on. However you want it to be, it's going to be. When he tells God, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Your will be done, not my will. How oftentimes when we want something, do we ever include that last part to our prayer? Sincerely. Because when we want something from God, we stick with what we want part and not your will be done part. Because most times, like Jesus in the flesh knew that that was not the will of God to let the cup pass from him, but it didn't hurt him to ask. And so he asked, and yet God would not let that be so. Move on to verse 43, because here's what's interesting, and I need you to see this. Jesus is an example for us, and I need you to see what happens with him happens with us. Yeah. 43.
Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him.
Listen, he prays, Father, and we just got through going through that. But when he gets through, what does the Father do? The Father sends an angel to strengthen him. Why did he send an angel to strengthen him? Because he knew it was necessary for the salvation of whosoever will that Jesus would drink from the cup. So therefore, when he sends the angel, it's for three reasons in the strength. One, the strength to continue. You see, my brothers and sisters, how many of us have started, a good ministry, a good job, a good situation, a good witness, a good walk, and then somewhere down the road, we stopped and didn't finish it. We fell short and didn't complete it. How many times has the Lord given us an assignment and we started off like we were gonna do it? And we were excited as long as things were going good, but when we hit rough spots, We become discouraged and we begin to wonder if this is the will of God and should I keep on going with this? And since nobody is with me, maybe it wasn't God's will. But there are some times that God will give you something to do that he won't assign anybody else's name to it. You've got to go through it by yourself.
All right, that's all.
And so Jesus was given the strength from an angel from heaven so that one, he could continue. And you know why I know he continued? Because the next verse is in the Bible. Verse 44, it's in the Bible. But let me go on and finish. But secondly, the angel came down to strengthen him so he could remain committed. Committed. Commit your works, your ways unto the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. He will direct your path. He'll show you what to do. He'll give you strength to do it if you remain committed. See, what you don't understand, there are times when we think we can't go on, but all we need is a little strength from heaven. And God knows at the right time to send you that strength so that you can make sure you stay committed. How many times, if I can get some real folk in the house, you felt like giving up this journey? You ain't got to be real. I'm going to be real. I can't count the times I thought about giving up this race, but I realized that what God had done in me, he did it in me before I ever got to planet Earth. And even when I wanted to give up, there was something on the inside that wouldn't let me give up. He was able to do something in me and then show me that it really wasn't about me. It was about him in me doing what he called me to do. And my commitment by the strength of the Lord was recommitted to his work. Uh-huh. And then he prayed for strength to conquer every demon and enemy and situation that he would encounter. That's what the angel strengthened him for, to continue to stay committed and to conquer what was coming your way. How many of you know that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper? Listen, it might work in the interim a little harm, it might do a little damage, but in the end, you win. You win. God didn't say you wouldn't go through something. God didn't say you wouldn't have heartache and pain. God didn't say that the enemy wouldn't get some good blows on you and knock you down to the ground sometime. But in the end, you win. And when you know this assuredly, going in before you get in, I keep referring you back to David, you can shout, yay, though I walk through the valley. Because you know going in, you are coming out. And you're coming out with your head up and your hands lifted up and God receiving the glory and you receiving the good. How can you say that, Pastor? Look at Psalm 23 and 5. Thou preparest the table. Before, when did he do that? After I came out?
All right.
He celebrates us when we stay committed. And he will show us that we have power to conquer everything that comes against us. Why? Because greater is he that is in you, me, the believer, than he that is in this world. He may be prince of the air, but God is God over all, including the prince of this air.
Yes, sir.
And so we need to know he prayed for strength. But uh-huh. Here, read the next verse.
Verse 44.
And I'm closing.
And being in an agony.
Hold up right there. Okay. And being in an agony. Why not just say, and being filled with agony? Being in an agony. It's really semantics in the one sense, but yet it's revealing in another sense. Because in an agony suggests the human realities of the mental and emotional sufferings of people. In other words, the word agony is defined as extreme emotional and physical suffering. Extreme emotional and physical suffering. An agony, being in an extreme emotional and physical suffering. See, what I'm trying to help you to get the understanding of is Jesus was already suffering. Being in an agony, he was agonizing over the fact that One, nobody else could do what he had to do. But two,